Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. A few days ago, California pronounced a day of prayer. They do not have in mind prayers to Christ for mercy, but prayers to the God of your choice, hoping that one within this pantheon can help, or at least make you feel better. These modern-day prophets of Baal cry out on Mount Carmel, but their prayers go unanswered. Telling a Christian to pray is like telling an orange tree to produce oranges. It's just what it does. We do not pray because a secular authority told us to or because we have a need. We pray because God commanded us to pray. And he has promised to bless our prayers. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Jesus does not say he will give some things or most things. Neither does he limit it to spiritual blessings, but whatever you ask in my name. Now, not all blessings are equal. Family is greater than money, and spiritual blessings surpass them all, but all are to be received with prayer and thanksgiving. So pray for great things, pray for small things, pray for important things and for unimportant things. Pray for relief from the coronavirus and the economic downturn. Pray for the basic necessities and for pleasures. Pray for an increase of faith and love. Don't limit your prayers, but ask for anything, so long as it's not forbidden. Our Lord taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, God is your true Father, and you are his true children. Baptism birthed you into the family of God. You are not illegitimate children, neither did you sneak in through the back door. God washed you. The Spirit gave you new life. He remembers the day well. After all, it was your birthday, the time, the date, the setting, the hour. So he listens to your prayers as intently as if Christ himself were speaking. For you are his beloved Son, with whom he is well pleased. Approach him with freedom and confidence as dear children ask their dear Father. He will not turn from you, neither will he ignore you. He will not laugh at your request or scold you for failing to kneel, bow, or fold your hands properly. But he looks at the merits of Christ. For his sake, he joyfully listens to your unorganized words, your groans, and your sighs. For prayer must not begin on the lips. It must bubble up from the depths of the heart. If the heart's devotion breaks into external words, like all good works, prayer flows from faith. If you wait for the right moment, you will never pray. If you wait until you feel in the right mood, you will never pray. If you wait until the right time and place, you will never pray. If you wait until you feel like you're worthy, again, you will never pray. And he who does not pray cannot be a partaker of heavenly blessings. Not because prayer earns anything, but because he's a Christian in name only. A Christian will pray. He will talk to his Father, even as an orange tree bears oranges. He who does not pray sins against the second commandment. The Holy Spirit departs from him. He subjugates himself to the devil. He robs himself of wonderful conversations with God. In short, he doubts the promise of God. Faith wants to pray and prays often because God has promised to bless prayer. Did not the Israelites defeat the Amalekites while Moses' hands were lifted up in prayer? Did not this same Moses pray to God to spare Israel after they had built the golden calf and God threatened to destroy them? Joshua prayed and the sun stood still. Solomon prayed and received wisdom like no one else. St. James instructs us, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." With prayer, Elijah received fire from heaven to consume not only the sacrifice, but also the wood, the stones, and the water on Mount Carmel. And then he prayed again, and God sent rain on a parched land. With prayer, Hezekiah obtained 15 more years of life. And did not St. Paul say that prayer drives back the devil? These things are recorded as examples for your learning. Do not limit the power of your God by refusing to ask. Do not stifle his love by assuming you have everything under control. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. But only for those who ask in Jesus' name. To pray in Jesus' name is not to conclude with a proper formula, but to pray in Jesus' name is to believe that your prayers are heard only because of Christ. It's to pray from faith. He is the only mediator. For his sake, God will give you whatever you ask. As the Old Testament sacrifices were offered on one altar, so your sacrifice of prayer is offered on the altar of the cross, that is, upon Christ, who is your life and your salvation. God will give you whatever you ask in his name. He does not promise to give you whatever you desire or whatever you want, but whatever aligns with his will for you in Christ. So if you do not receive what you have asked for, recognize it is not God's will to give it to you right now. Maybe later, so keep on praying, but not right now. As far as all the circumstances surrounding our life right now, I don't know how it all work out for our good. But I do know that God has promised to work out everything for our good. I do know that he wants to draw you closer by this, closer to himself. Let's think about ancient Israel, harassed by snakes, living in the desert. Moses prayed to God to remove those snakes, and God said no. Their bites continued to inflict pain and hurt and suffering. But God tells them to erect a bronze serpent. When a person was bitten and in the midst of his pain and hurt and suffering looked at that snake on the pole, he lived. He lived because he believed the promise of God. If he had stayed at home and prayed to God but refused to look at that snake, he would die. He doubted the promise of God. He wanted God to heal him in a different way. Prayer is not a way to twist God's arm into action. Prayer is regurgitation. We repeat back to God his promises. So we pray to him to heal us and to save us as he has promised. We pray that God would remove this virus. But he may not. It may continue to inflict pain and hurt and suffering on many levels, but God does not tell us to look to But God does tell us to look to the one who was lifted up on a tree. When we look to Christ in the midst of our troubles, our hurt, our pain, we live. We live because we believe the promise of God that Christ has taken away our sins, died our death, rose so we might rise. If we refuse to look at Christ and to go to where he is present, then we will die, regardless of how often and strenuously we will pray. Prayer is regurgitation. It's not a way to get God to do something for me. We repeat prayer as repeating back to God the promises he has made to us, promises always anchored in Christ. It's an act of faith. So even though nothing seems to change, faith continues to pray, for it trusts God's promises will never fail. We may not get exactly what we asked for, but how often are we like children asking for mac and cheese when God wants to give us a feast? He has our best interest in mind. Even if the virus lingers and the economy completely collapses, it is for your good. At times, he takes away the pain, the hurt, the suffering. At other times, they increase. But through it all, we look to the one who was lifted up on a tree. All of this is for our good. He will deliver us, for we are his children. He is our Father. He has given us his promise. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.